the book of Leviticus, chapter 9. It came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. The work of the high priest begins. Just let us for a few moments recap where we are in the book of Leviticus. At the start of the book, there is a nice new tabernacle. The tent of meeting has just been newly erected. And God has kept his word because he has come down. The cloud covered the tent and the glory of the Lord filled the tent. And the Lord begins to speak out of the tent. And that's how we get the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is God speaking out of this new tent in which he has come into to dwell. And that divine voice is leading and commanding and organizing all that takes place in the sanctuary, all that takes place in the tabernacle. And the first thing that the Lord does is to give the law of the offerings. He tells the people what they are to offer. And we have that in chapters 1 through to 7. We have the law of the offerings, all these different sacrifices, all these different gifts which the children of Israel are to bring to God, whereby they can come to God. There's no approach to God without sacrifice. There's no coming near to God without an offering. There's no getting into the presence of God without the blood of atonement. And so the first thing is the offerings. But the people cannot approach God on their own. They not only need sacrifices, they need a priest. They just can't come by themselves. They need a priest to offer those sacrifices. They need a mediator to go into God with the blood of sacrifice on their behalf. So in chapter 8, what we have is God calling a priest. And God consecrating that priest for the work of the priesthood in the offering of the sacrifices and in mediating between God and the people. So in chapter 8 we have the emphasis upon the consecration of the priests, and especially on the high priest. There's no atonement without blood, and there's no atonement without a priest to offer the blood. So God gives the offerings, and God gives the high priest. He calls him. He clothes him, as we saw last week. He consecrates him to the priestly function. And the ceremony of consecration takes place in chapter 8. A whole week of ceremony and ritual to consecrate the priest. And the consecration, having been completed, the new priest can now commence his work. And so what we have in chapter 9, the chapter before us, the holy priest commences his priestly function, having been dressed, having been consecrated, having been called by God. And so in this chapter 9, we have the work that the high priest has to do. We begin to see what the high priest does on this special day. And it is a special day. It's the 8th day. It says it came to pass on the 8th day. That is highlighting that it's special. And as we look at this chapter, I remind you of the apostolic words, as Aaron, so Christ. So Christ. And so we see Christ in this chapter. Aaron was called. Aaron was consecrated to God for the priestly work. And he carries out the priestly work in chapter 9. And God and Moses were the ones who consecrated him in chapter 8. He didn't have a priest, but he was consecrated by God and by Moses. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was also called and consecrated as our great high priest. And the one who called him and consecrated him was God. God alone. And God did it all the consecration to his Son. And God the Father laid his hand on his Son. As the Bible says, he laid hand on one who was mighty, consecrating him, setting him apart to be our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who is the mediator between us. So God set Christ, his Son, apart. God called him. As Hebrew tells us, the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. He has a consecration. The consecration is by God, by God's solemn oath. God, as it were, has come to his Son, has put up his right hand to himself, and has sworn and says, thou art a priest forever. You are a priest forevermore unto me. You are a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is eternally consecrated with the oath of Almighty God to the priesthood. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so God anoints him. God causes him to be the Christ, the Messiah. He gives him all the equipment. He gives him all the clothing. He gives him all he needs to be the consecrated priest to carry out the function of the high priest. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. As the apostle said, of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. The high priest was anointed. Aaron was anointed. It was done by man. But Christ has a reality. God's anointed him. God has called him. God has consecrated him. God has made the oath and the covenant as he instills him into the office. And so God clothes him with glory and honor. Our great high priest, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, speaking of the Son of Man, speaking of himself, him hath God the Father sealed. He sealed me to the office of mediator, king, prophet, and especially high priest. So the Lord Jesus is the great high priest that we truly need. He is the one who fulfills this chapter. He's a great reality. He's a true mediator. He's the only one who effectively and effectually can bring us near to God. But what does the consecrated high priest do? What did Aaron do? Because what Aaron does is a picture of what Christ does. So we're looking tonight at what the high priest does. And as I said, this is the eighth day. It's a very important day. It's a very special day. It's similar to the annual Day of Atonement. It's something like that. But it's even more special than that because it's never repeated. This is a once-for-all kind of event, a ceremony. It's a grand affair, the official opening day of the tabernacle where the work begins under the high priest's hands. It's a day when the glory of the Lord appeared. It's a day when the fire came from the presence of God into the altar and burnt up the sacrifices. That was never repeated. This is a special day. This is a day that stands out in the history of the church. This is a very important day in the topology and as a type of our great high priest Jesus Christ. It is the day when the glory of the Lord appears. Verse 4, for today, you see that? For today, the glory of the Lord will appear. It's a great day. It's a high day. You read it there in verse 6. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. There'll be no day like it. And then in verses 23 to 24, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. They came out. They blessed the people. And it took place. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a great fire out from God and consumed the altar, the burnt offering upon the altar and the fat. And the people shouted and they fell on their faces. So it's special. And it sets forth the work of Christ, our high priest, who brings down to us the glory of God and who sends to us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You remember the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost as cloven tongues of fire. He sent the fire. And so there is a topology here, the type. And there are pictures here of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Well, what does the high priest do then? Why do we need a high priest at all? What can he do that nobody else can do? Well, there are several things special about the high priest. But two are most prominent. It is those two that I want to deal with tonight. Two main things I want to focus on. As Aaron, so Christ. The first part of the priest's work is altar work. The work of sacrifice. The work of dealing with the offerings. The work of handling the substitute and the sacrifice. You will notice the emphasis of the high priest in this chapter that he's always at the altar. He's always on top of the altar. He's always arranging things. He's always putting blood on the horns of the altar. His work is altar work. In fact, you can underline the word altar every time in this chapter and you can see how often the high priest is there. He's at the altar. He's on the altar. Verse 8 says, he went on to the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering. So the work begins and it's altar work. It begins here. It begins with death. It begins with bloody sacrifice and blood shedding. It begins with the offerings. The offering of the sacrifices for the people. That's why you need a high priest. The sacrifice is not enough on its own. It must be a sacrifice offered by a specially anointed, a specially called, a specially consecrated high priest. And so the high priest's function is to offer sacrifices. And we read that in the Epistle to the Hebrews. In all things it behoves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So this is one of the functions of a high priest, a faithful high priest, in Godward work at the altar to make sin offerings for reconciliation. Priest has to do that. Hebrews 5 verse 1, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. He acts Godward. He is ordained and set aside to act Godward in regard to offering these sacrifices that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And that's what Aaron's doing here. For a sin offering. For atonement. Offering the offerings. That's his work. That's his business. That's why he's called. That's why he's consecrated. That's why he's set apart and clothed and equipped. Every high priest, Hebrews 8 verse 3. Do you see how often the apostle is saying this? Every high priest, not just Aaron, but when he died, his son. And when that son died, the next son was high priest. And it continued. And every high priest, this was his job description. He is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. That's his job. And whenever Aaron is at the altar, this is what he's doing. Now you will notice that there is a twofold distinction in the offerings that he offers. First of all, we read of the offerings that he makes for himself. Verse 8, Aaron therefore went on to the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. So he offers offerings, and he has to first of all offer for himself. And after he's offered for himself, then in verse 15, he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as at the first. So you see, there's a twofold distinction. He has to offer the offerings, first of all, for himself. And then he has to offer the offerings after that for the people. This is his job. This is his work. This is what he does. And so in seeing this twofold distinction, you see straight away, Aaron is not Christ. Aaron is not the great high priest. He is not the true high priest, because he has to do this business, first of all, of offering for himself. He's not the true priest. He's only a type. He's only a picture. He's only a forerunner. He needs an offering for himself. He needs reconciliation. He needs atonement. He needs to be forgiven of his sins. He, in fact, himself, needs the true priest. And this offering for himself is Aaron saying, I am not the Christ. I am just a sinner. I am announcing to you that Christ will come, that he will do the real work that I am doing, that I am only engaged in ceremony and ritual, and I am not carrying out the great reconciliation, because I have to offer for myself. We are waiting one to come. And in the meantime, I offer these offerings. This is what every high priest is kind of saying. I offer these offerings in the meantime, and I keep the law of the offerings in the ritual in anticipation of the great 8th day of redemption, when Messiah shall come, and when he shall fulfill all of this type and shadow, and they shall vanish away in his finished work. And so this is just ceremony. The fact that he has to offer for himself tells us that. The Lord Jesus Christ needeth not daily, the Bible says, as those high priests. He doesn't need to daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, only once, not many times, and he didn't offer up for himself, but he offered up himself for the people, and he did it only once. These high priests are doing this every day. Every day this is their work. Every day this continues. And there's not only the twofold division for himself and for the people that brings out the significance of the Aaronic priesthood, that it's imperfect, but there are also many sacrifices, many offerings. There's at least a half a dozen offerings here, plus the ordinary offerings that are taking place in the daily offering. There's a lot of sacrifices already, even in day one. Why so many being carried out? Because of their imperfection. Because none of them is the true and once for all offering. Because none of them really deal with sin, and none of them truly reconcile to God. None of them are perfect until Christ comes, who only has to offer one offering for the people, when he offers himself, and then all of this ends, as we know it did, at the rending of the veil. And so Christ is the fulfillment of this, and he offers the sacrifice, but the sacrifice that he offers is himself. He offered himself. No high priest could ever do that. The true high priest, he has the sacrifice of himself. and he offers himself. And men and women, that's what Calvary is. It's a sin offering. And in that sin offering, there is a priest, the Lord Jesus, offering himself. He's been consecrated to do that. He couldn't offer himself unless he was consecrated in the decree of God to do that. It has to be done in justice and righteousness. It has to be done in a way that glorifies God. And so men just haven't come along and had an afterthought and they kind of said, well, we'll make Jesus a sacrifice, we'll make Jesus a high priest because he's died on a tree. That's not the way it is. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's all been in the plan and mind of God. And it's been foreshadowed in the book of Leviticus. We need an offering and we need a priest. And they meet in Jesus Christ, the once for all offering and the great high priest. And so that's what we have here. The work of the high priest giving a sacrifice, giving himself. And so, men and women, you see the uniqueness of Holy Scripture. You see these types and their shadows. They show us God's plan. They show us that God knows what he's doing. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows what his Christ is to become, his anointed one. And he pictures him and he portrays him in the book of Leviticus so that when he comes, we will recognize him. We will say, that's the one that we saw in Leviticus. That's the one who set forth in the high priest. That's what this is all about. Otherwise, this doesn't make sense. The book of Leviticus doesn't make sense. The rending of the veil at the death of Christ doesn't make sense if Christ is not the high priest and the offering who fulfills it all and is the great reality. We have a wonderful Bible, you know. We don't follow commonly devised fables. The Christian faith is not like that. It's built on the solid rock of the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of the Lord. It doesn't only show us the wonderful Bible we have, it especially shows us the perfection of our Lord's priesthood. He is the one who we can trust. He is the one who can bring us nigh to God truly. He is the one who can deal with our sins. He has handled the sacrifice of himself in such a way that he has put things right between God and sinners. He's the one who does it. There's no one else. And so you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust in him, and you must do so. To go near to God, you must go through the high priest. You must trust in Jesus. You must believe in the Christ. You must say, I'm trusting in his sacrifice. I'm trusting in his work. He's the only mediator I need. He's the only one I want. He's the only one I will believe and trust and rest in. And sinner, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be right with God and to be saved. And so we're taught here of the perfection of the priestly work of Jesus Christ. And seeing the imperfection of the priestly work of Aaron, the high priest. So that's the first thing he offers, sacrifices. But as you study this chapter, you will see that there is another part to the job description, if I may define it in that way. Aaron has been laboring all this eighth day at the altar. He's been cutting the pieces, he's been laying them in place, he's been seeing to the fire, he's been manipulating the blood all day, he's been doing this. And he's on the altar. And it's coming to a grand conclusion this day, it's coming to the end. He's on the altar, and before he finally comes down, he does something. And you read about it there in verse 22. Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. Do you see what's happening? He's made all these offerings. He's done all the manipulation with the blood. There he is standing on the altar. He's finished the work. The day is nearly brought to a conclusion. And what does he do? He raises his hands to the people. He's not waving, you know. He's not saying goodbye or good night, but he's blessing them. That's what it means when he raises his hand. He's blessing them. He's pronouncing a benediction. He's saying it's finished. And the Lord bless you. And the Lord's blessing is upon you. He's like the one with the outstretched arms, blessing the people. And so these uplifted hands signifies prayer for the people, signifies goodwill to the people, signifies blessings upon their head, blessings over you, blessings upon you, blessings from heaven above to come down to you. That's what the lifting up of the hand signifies. His work ends at the altar, and his priestly benediction and his intercession begins, commences. And then, he, having done that, having blessed them, it says there, he turned his hand toward the people and blessed them. And then he came down. And what does he do? He goes into the tabernacle of the congregation. And he came out again and blessed the people. Do you see the emphasis upon the people being blessed? Kind of bracketing this. The finished work at the altar, the finished work of sacrifice, then blessing the people, then coming down, going into the sanctuary, whatever he's doing in there, and then he comes out again and blessing the people. He's filled with blessings. And whenever he's in the sanctuary, we believe that's what he's doing. He goes in to pray. Having finished the work, he goes in to pray for the people. He knows there can be no blessing for the people without God, without intercession. And so he goes into the sanctuary, to the altar of incense, and he's praying for the people. That's why he's wearing the special clothes. That's why he has a breastplate on his chest. That's why he has the stones this particular day on his shoulders. This is a special day. It typifies something glorious. And he's going in, bearing them upon his chest, bearing them upon his shoulders, praying for them, interceding for them, asking God for the blessing to come to them now that they are reconciled to him in the sacrifice. And so it's part of the work of the great high priest to make intercession, to bless the people by praying for them. And the threefold sphere of intercession is on the altar, where the finished work is, and then in the sanctuary where he goes into, and then whenever he comes out to see them all again. Those are the three areas of intercession and blessing, where he has this large heart for all that he bears on his breast and carries on his shoulders. It's just a picture. Who can Aaron pray for? He couldn't even probably remember all the names of the people. But it's just a picture. It's a picture of Christ. What he is, what he does for his people, he knows them all by name. He bears them all on his shoulders. He carries them, and he knows every one of them individually, and he knows who he gave himself for every individual, so that every individual can say, the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. He just didn't give himself for the church, a wide sort of nebulous of a body, and he doesn't know anybody in it. No, he knows everyone by name. He knows them all upon his heart. He died for them, and he ever lives to make intercession for them. Individually. One by one. And so he has this work of intercession. The priestly benediction is described for us in the book of Numbers. That's the priestly benediction, that the grace and the peace of God and the light of his countenance shine upon you and be gracious to you. And you know his peace and his joy and all of that. That's what you can have in the offering. That's what you can have through the high priest. That's what you can have through the finished work and the great intercession of our great high priest. This grace and this blessing. This is part of the job description of the high priest. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. That's one part of the work. But also, the other part of the work, he has compassion on the ignorant. He feels for the poor sinner. He feels for the poor worshippers who trust in him. He has them upon his heart. And the implication is that he prays for them. Because when you have compassion for someone, you pray for them. And our great high priest, he has compassion on them, and so he intercedes for them to his Father. And this chapter is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because this man, our great high priest, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see how the apostle brings in the work of the high priest? He's ever living. What's he doing up there in the sanctuary? What's our great high priest doing up there at the right hand of God? He's ever living, bearing his people on his breast, making intercession for them. He's fulfilling his work. And the work is finished in one aspect, the altar work. But the work of benediction and blessing and intercession, that's not finished. That's ongoing till the last one is safely brought in. This chapter is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. On the cross, he finished the work. On the cross, his outstretched arms signified his extending the blessing through his sacrifice unto sinners. On the cross, he made intercession. We read he made intercession for the transgressors. He did that on the cross. At the very time of the finishing of the work. As it were, so to speak, when he was on the altar, he has the hands outstretched for his people. He is dying for them, but he is also blessing them. He is also interceding for them, even as he dies for them. And so his arms are outstretched, bringing down the divine blessing upon his people through his cross work. And so we read, he's prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he goes into the sanctuary. As Aaron went into the sanctuary on this great day, he went in. And Christ has gone in. He's come down from the cross. He's rose from the dead. And he's gone into the sanctuary. And there he ever lives to intercede. He's praying. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's the second part of his priestly work. Praying for sinners. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, appearing in the presence of God for us. That's his intercession. He just appears for us. He just shows his breastplate. He just bows before his heavenly Father and shows them that he bears upon his shoulders. He appears not just for himself, not to be, as it were, radiating heaven and everybody just looking upon him for himself. No, he appears for his people. He shows the jewels that are his, displayed before his Father, that his Father may see their needs, and on the grounds of his once-for-all offering, bless his people. The Lord blesses his people for Christ's sake, for the great high priest's sake. This is what this chapter pictures and is all about. We have an advocate with the Father, one who intercedes for us, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he will come again. And he'll come out of the sanctuary one day. And he'll leave the holy place. And he'll bring heaven's blessing to his people. And one day he'll appear again. You remember when he left them? Whenever he left them, he brought them out as far as the Bethany, the Bible says, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he was carried away up into heaven. Still has the hands out, blessing them, praying for them, as he goes away into the heavenly sanctuary, to the right hand of God. And he'll come back again, and he'll be the same way. He'll have the hands of blessing extended over his whole church, and he'll raise them from the dead, and the glory of the Lord will come down and appear and change them and transform them, and the fire will come out and burn up all his enemies, just like in this day. And Jesus Christ will fulfill this in every way when he comes back again to bless his people that he bought with his blood, to bring them all to himself. It's all fulfilled here. It's all pictured and portrayed here. And so Christ is the great reality of this chapter. And we can be sure that we can believe in him and we can trust in him, who died for us and offered himself for us, and who, we are assured, has us upon his heart and ever lives to intercede for us. We must be persuaded of these things. We must be convinced of these truths. We must let these truths sink down into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we have peace and comfort and assurance. This is what God wants you to have, child of God. And so what a wonderful Bible we have. What a wonderful Savior we have in our great High Priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. Unto him be all the glory this night.